Hi, Kate. How are you? Hi, can you
hear me? Hi, Lynn.
Hi, can you hear me?
Oh, I can't.
No?
Okay. Lynn's rad. Okay. Let's see. Hold on, Lynn's muted. We're working on it.
Yeah, my end is open.
Hey, Lynn, can you hear me?
Yes.
She can hear me. I can't hear you.
Oh.
We're working on it, Lynn.
No, I think it's me. Wait a minute. Is that better?
Lucinda hears Lynn, but I can't hear. Yeah, can you come here for a quick?
Yeah.
Oh, technology.
Maybe.
Okay, so Lynn, I can't hear her, but she can hear me, and Lucinda can hear Lynn.
Oh my gosh, so you're the only one that can't hear Lynn? Okay.
I guess
how weird. So,
but Lucinda,
oh, where's your audio?
Whose audio?
Your audio.
Oh, is it me?
Maybe it's you. But you could you hear me a minute ago?
Mm-hmm. What's this do?
Yeah, click on that mute. And then, select the speaker. My bad. So do built-in output. That's why. There we go.
Good morning.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
How's it going, Lynn?
Oh, good. How are you, Justin? How are you?
I'm doing great. Great. Great to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Yeah.
Thank God for him. I don't know what I did. It's like, I don't know what this connects to. I don't know how to, whatever. How are you doing? Oh, technology. How are you doing?
Good.
Awesome.
I'm good.
What's new in your world?
Well, I'm finishing up my teaching job for the summer, so that's good.
How many more days?
Well, actually, today is really the big day, so that's it.
Ooh. Has it been online, or is it like in person still?
Both, but mostly in person.
Okay. Wow, yeah. And then you're a free unit for the whole summer.
Yeah, and then I'm going to do some online stuff, and then, but I'm just going to be part-time, so it's going to be good.
Oh, that'll be great. Are you going to travel at all or do anything?
I am going back east. I'm going to Massachusetts in June.
Is your family there?
Well, yeah. Some of them are.
Okay,
yeah. A lot of my family's gone now, but we're going back for a memorial service that we put off for 14 months. So,
because of all this? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It is.
Yeah. my grandpa passed, oh my gosh, last Memorial Day. So almost exactly a year ago, but yeah, he was 96 and it was kind of sad. Like his church, nothing was open. Nobody. So my dad made like a video montage and that was kind of it. And it felt really just felt unended to me. I didn't like it.
I totally get it. Yeah. We're going to actually have a little service in the church. It was my mom and she was 95.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's hard. I'm sorry, but that's neat. You're going to still honor her. And actually that kind of is neat to bring that back and you kind of get her back in a little way and share stories.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be fun.
That's beautiful. I'm happy.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Hi, Luann.
Hi.
Oh, good. We have audio. Good. How are you?
Good.
Where are you coming from?
I'm coming from Connecticut.
How's it there?
How is it here? Well, the weather is gorgeous here.
Nice.
But the, Connecticut is very much like California.
Is it?
Yeah. They're actually, I just looked at our mask law in some places yesterday, like gyms and yoga studios, but they're like, you have to wear a mask if you didn't receive the jab.
Yeah. So, okay, like Trader Joe's and all that did it. I've been into Trader Joe's twice without a mask and there's people in there doing the same, but like, and then if someone asks, the woman in front of me was from Florida and she didn't have one on and she goes, so we don't have to wear a mask anymore. And they said, that is correct if you're fully vaccinated. And that's all they say because they don't check,
They don't check.
No. So how is it going? Like, are they asking people or what's going on with that?
One of the studios sent out an email, local studio, and she said, we're going to check your vaccine card the first visit, the first time you come in.
Oh, boy.
And we'll have it on file. Now, I took a copy of that and I sent it to another group that I'm in. But I'm going to go to we do the meeting, the potlucks on Wednesday nights, the organic potlucks. So I'll see from other towns what people have found out in other towns with their gyms and stuff. If they're, if they went out today and what they're doing as far as if they're checking or not, because we weren't sure what some of the business we were going to do or not.
Yeah, that's what's weird. You know, when we read, even on Yahoo the other day, there was an article about like businesses themselves, like Trader Joe's and Walmart and people that are dropping the mask, but they're not going to require verification right now. So it's just like individual, it's not even the government, it's individual businesses making this call. It's so interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's getting kind of dicey, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man alive. Well, have you gone anywhere without one? Or have you always gone maskless, or what's your deal?
I've always gone maskless. I have a scarf that I'll put around my neck, and just if they harass me enough, I'll just be like, I'll hold it up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always chasing me down, and they're like, you gotta put it on, you gotta put it on. I'm like, I don't have to put it on. I'll do this.
Do you leave, or do you just kind of?
No, they just kind of give you nasty looks. And but I live in a small town too. So it's not like they knew me before, and they know that I'm a chiropractor, and so they're kind of like, oh, we don't want to harass her too much. You know? So
yeah, you're not getting treatment. Just kidding.
Right.
Sounds awful. You know, my friend, it's so funny. My friend went to Texas a couple months ago and to visit their good friends who I also know. And that girl there has a mask that's all mesh, and then it's covered in rhinestones. So it looks, I mean, you've probably seen those. She got online. So it looks like she's fully, but she's breathing like perfect through it. And they don't, nobody even picks up on it, which is, you know, if you don't have the guts to go maskless, it's kind of a good option. But
yeah. The other half of I have some friends that wear those that have to, that they need to have to wear a mask where they're at, and they wear those. And I spend half of my time in South Carolina because I go back and forth up the East Coast, and I just drive. And in South Carolina, no, you don't have to. They don't care. Nobody's doing anything. They have a lot of the older people who like put the masks on because they were afraid, but like, they're just whatever. You'll go in and they'll be like, you want a mask? Say no, thank you. And we're like, okay, have a nice day. And
that's awesome.
As soon as I drive back up north, I can feel the tension oppression. Changing, the energy changing. You get locked in that grid.
I didn't know. I don't know. I guess I haven't looked in depth at Connecticut's situation right now. I think you're the only first person I've talked to in Connecticut.
Yeah, so our state is like pushing to be number one with the jabs.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and we're up to like, I think we're up to 70%.
How many, do you know that is a lot. Do you know the population of your state?
I'm going to guess 300,000 maybe. I don't know. No, that's a guess. That's wrong. I don't know. I don't remember what the population of the state is here. 70%. It's a small, but it's a small state. And yeah,
I love 70%. Connecticut. I've been there a few times. I love it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is gorgeous. My friend went to Yale, and we went back there one time and drove around. We did Boston and lots of places in Connecticut, took some drive. It's gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. Yeah. Fall, especially. Oh.
Yep, it is. It's so gorgeous, but it's so, just they're very, very in the agenda big time.
Yeah.
But our governor is big time into the agenda. His wife comes from a background. They're all tied into a lot of it. There's like the small state with five pharmaceutical companies, and they're tied in with like the biggest hedge fund owner. In Connecticut, he gave our state like $2 billion in exchange for the state to match it and for him to get to collect data on the children from the school systems. We were like, what? Yeah, so lots of corruption here in the beautiful state that we have.
Well, that makes sense because it seems to be kind of a money state.
Yeah.
A lot of money, for sure.
Yeah.
That's sad. With money comes so much corruption. I mean, it seems to be the case, but that's awful. Hey, Beck, how's it going?
Good. Good.
You look like you're sitting in a cloud.
What's that?
You look like you're in heaven. It looks like a cloud around you.
Oh, It's probably a blanket sitting on the
ground. The way it's coming through from here looks like these puffy like clouds all around you.
That's funny.
Are you knitting?
I'm actually crocheting. Nice. So I'm getting two birds with one stone here, I guess.
What? That's a perfect thing to do. What are you making?
Okay, I'm kind of goofy. I can't stand throwing anything away, so I'll take old clothes or just whatever, old material around, and I cut them in strips, and then I roll them in balls, and this is like a purse that I made. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All old material, and then I sew old blue jean pockets on inside and outside. And
what the heck?
Don't That's ask cute. What I'm going to do with it when I'm done, but, you know.
Well, you're going to use it. You're going to take it to the farmer's market or collect your eggs.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. So anyways, I've given away for gifts already and stuff, but I think, you know.
Wow.
It's going to be a special hippie to kind of appreciate them.
Oh, I think you're neat.
Yeah,
you could do farmer's markets. You could sell or those little maker's market things. People would love
that. I had a guy, he saw me working on one over at the neighbors, and he wanted to buy one for his daughter. And I said, well, you sure she's going to like it? I said, you better take a picture of it because she's like a teenager.
Yeah.
I said, sometimes they're kind of goofy about that stuff. And
yeah.
So he took a picture of it and he was telling me, you should sell those things. And I said, well, I'll sell it to you. How much money you got?
What'd you get for it?
I know. So much work by the time you cut the material up and put it together and then roll it up in a ball, because then I end up with a ball like this. Can you see it?
Yeah, yeah.
And crochet with it. So it's a lot of messing around.
No, and it's probably never worth the money. It's probably because you gotta love doing it, you know?
I would rather give it away for a gift than sell it, to tell you the truth.
For sure.
Because then I feel like it has value to it. If somebody says, I'll give you $2, well, then it's like, okay.
Right.
You just insulted me.
Yeah, no, it's gorgeous. So talk about like repurposing. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that.
Yeah, I haven't made the last couple of the Zoom meetings or with Justin either, because I got a nasty thing of shingles.
Oh.
And I just felt awful. And I was working, I talked to Dr. Bergman about it, and I went and got adjusted, and then I got this big bulge in the side of my abdomen, like where it was. And it was like I was like a sausage. It was so tight.
Oh.
And so I got to doing research on it, and then I worked with the chiropractor, and we came up with it. It's called pseudo hernia. Ooh. And it's because those nerves are so inflamed. I'm not kidding you. It looked like it was a hernia there. And then I finally got better with that and was working with a few things with it. And then I ended up with, after the scabs and everything was gone, I'm still sore. And I feel like a barbed wire is wrapped around me and somebody's just pulling on it. And here they said it's post-herpetic neuralgia, and it's when the nerves have been damaged. So now I'm kind of waiting for them to grow back. But I wasn't getting on in the Zoom meetings because I just literally didn't feel like talking.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I wondered what happened to you for a little while.
At first, you can't get comfortable at all. And I was going with no sleep practically.
Oh.
So then I hate taking drugs, but I started taking the Motrin. I had to do something for the pain. I wasn't going to go to the doctor.
No, I hear you.
And so I'm at the point now where I can at least get comfortable. You know, it's not as bad. So I can sit here and I'm comfortable. But if I'm outside messing around for very long, you know, just doing yard work or whatever, I have to stop. And I did a massage this morning, and it was all I could do to get through it at the end. My back was just aching. But I'm like, oh, my God, I hope I never get this again. Well, with all the things that I do, I was just surprised. I was surprised. I had been doing some yard work, moving some rocks, and my back started hurting. And I thought I pulled something, you know, and it was like 2 nights of not getting comfortable. And then I felt on my back and I felt the rash, and I knew what it was. And of course, I had to say the F-bomb, you know. I was like, because we were leaving for Mexico the next day on vacation. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Did you go?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I'm a cheap ass and I already put the money out there. And so, by God, I'm gone. So what intelligent thing do I do? Go on a four-wheeling trip where you have your own four-wheeler and you're bouncing around on the sand by the ocean. Well, because, you know, I'm in Mexico. I'm going to do the thing. And then I went in a boat ride where you're, you know, bouncing all over. You know, I was like a glutton for punishment.
You're awesome.
I know. So then finally, that one relief I had was in the pool. It seemed to But I didn't have anything, so I went to the drugstore and got some, you know, you can get anything there. So I got some gabapentin. They said that's good for the pain. So I'm taking that down like jelly beans, you know, because I'm on vacation. I want to feel good.
What, did the bulge part go away? Did that go down?
I didn't do that yet. That wasn't until I came home.
Oh.
So I didn't, that was right at the beginning stages. So it was just mainly the rash and pain and not being able to get comfortable. And then it was later that bulge started and I felt like a stuffed sausage. It just was so tight. And I couldn't figure out. I thought, what the heck? If I go to the doctor, I know what they're going to want to do. They're going to want to do a colonoscopy and whatever else. And I knew what it was, but so.
Oh my gosh. Helped. Yeah, that's good to hear. I was going to say, Luann is a chiropractor here too. So maybe she had some thoughts on that, but oh, that's awful.
I don't want to get it again. That's for sure.
Luann, do you treat a lot of people, I'm sure, with these symptoms? And do you have any other light to shed on that?
Yeah. And I mean, not a lot of people with those symptoms, but yeah. Did you ever try doing, did you do any ever cold plunge?
Ooh, no.
That's a good idea.
Well, it kind of, it changes everything that's going on in the body. And even with like lymphatic issues and you know, as long as you have, you know, if you do like a heart rate variability and you make sure like your heart and your cardiovascular system is running fine, cold plunging really does wonders for the ligaments, the tendons, the muscles, the lymphatic system, you know, besides just general immune system and health. I have found that when some people do it who have like issues where like, oh, I don't want, you know, I don't want that you to touch that, or it hurts so bad, or it's like so swollen, the cold plunging changes that.
Like jumping in a bathtub of ice cubes, is that what you're talking?
Well, yeah, you can get cold plunge tubs. They're like a size of like a barrel that you can just get in and squat, you know, like sit Indian style inside of. And if you have a shower that's big enough, you can put it in the shower, fill it up with cold water, and then you can have your shower right there. Some people have them outside their homes and do them like outside and then come in and take a shower. Some people have outdoor showers and they keep it in there. So there's, you know, a lot of different ways to go about it, but if you do a little research, it might be helpful for you.
Do you do them yourself, and how long would you recommend someone stay in? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I do them myself. And before you just go ahead and jump in, after you make sure, like, you know, cardiovascularly you're in good shape, you might want to start in the shower and just do some breathing in and out, and then just turn your cold on and turn your hot off, and you go easy and go maybe like, see if you can do like 5 seconds of cold and then 10 seconds of cold. And then before you know it, you're doing 30 seconds of cold. And you work your way up. Ideally, you want to stay in there for about 3 minutes, but you know, it's a slow process of working your body up to that.
Right. How, I'm just curious for people that might be listening to this in the future too. Is there a good test anyone should do on themselves to know if they're cardiovascularly
if somebody who does like heart rate variability, and they see that they're in good shape, that's what I suggest people
go for it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Mm. Yeah, I know it's kind of all the rage. I mean, this became so popular recently, although I'm sure people have done it for hundreds of years, but it's kind of funny, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's probably how we used to bathe, right?
Oh. Yep. The cold and the hot therapies.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. Rebecca, that's horrible. Have you been in a really stressful situation? I mean,
I was trying to think about it because I thought physically I should be fine, all the things that I do.
Yeah.
About a year and a half ago, I won't go into it, but my family of origin, after my mother died, there was some things that the rug was basically pulled out from under me, and I was caught by surprise and surprised by family members that I've known all my life, things that went down. Mm. And it's like, is it coming out now? Because I really was putting it down and not thinking about it because it made me feel hateful thoughts. So every time I would think about it and visit it, I would push it down. And I wouldn't talk about it with anybody because it's painful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that coming out now after a year and a half of pushing stuff down and down? And because I was feeling great. I was going to go on vacation, you know, and I was burning the candle at both ends because I was trying to get a bunch of stuff done around the place landscape wise before we took off. And that's why I thought I pulled a muscle on my back.
Mm.
And then I was trying to think why, because people say it's when you're under stress that it happens. And then I thought, I wonder if I'm not dealing with things and it's just going to come out physically eventually.
Well, that would, I mean, right when you said that, I'm like, I'd be shocked if it wasn't. Absolutely. Because sometimes you come down from that and you think you're completely like, well, that's when I get sick, when I feel all stressed and I'm going to get sick again. And then I don't get sick. And then weeks later, or months later, I'm like, it had to be that event, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my gosh.
It ended up that I'm not speaking to two of my siblings and I'm sick about it, but I felt like they're negative. I got to, you know, that part, I need to just get away from that. I'll say hi if I see them, but I mean, it's not like it was. I think it's when you know somebody for so long and you don't see something coming and you're just shocked.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't know.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Oh, well, yeah, we know our emotions are tied into everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I would be surprised if that weren't it.
I kind of thought too, because physically, I mean, I'm like, you guys, you know, I got the Brown's machine. I have the silver pulser. I do the chlorine dioxide water on occasion. The sauna, the red light therapy, the jumping on the rebounder. That's one thing I wouldn't do when it was big time hurt. And it was like, oh, there's no way I'm jumping on that thing.
Oh, that's awful. No,
I haven't jumped on it in nine weeks almost.
But that makes sense, the emotional. I mean, you could do all the physical stuff till the cows come home, but the emotional stuff, if you bury that, it's going to come out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's in your neck, you know, between your brain and your neck, between your heart and your brain, mm-hmm. you know, what you're thinking and what you're feeling. And
yeah.
Wow.
So,
yeah, that's interesting. On an emotional level, Luann or Bridget, because I know you're practitioners, do you have any emotion? I mean, do you guys do any work yourselves with any like magnets or releasing emotional techniques? Do you guys work with that, either of you?
So I do a lot of different things with PEMF, pulse electromagnetic fields.
Hi, Bridget.
But of course, emotional stress is the most detrimental to your well-being. What I was going to say to Rebecca, I mean, I can relate to you with how you're feeling with whatever the situation may be with family, but you've got to remind yourself that you can't control other people. You can only control yourself, and easier said than done, but how you cope with it is really going to be the big game changer for you. Because again, we can do all the things, we can do a ton of different things, IV therapy, PEMF, infrared saunas, plant-based dieting, all these different things. But until you heal and accept what it is and let that go, you'll never get better. I tell people all the time that come in here, if I can't mentally get you where you need to be, then just it's a waste of your time. I can't help you at all.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
What do you, when you work with your clients, what do you suggest where to start with that stuff? Because I mean, that stuff is so deep rooted.
Well, they have to address it. They can't keep running from it. And they also can't let people toxicity come into their life. They have to recognize who's toxic and who's not. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to be mistreated or hurt that way. I experienced it personally. I've been estranged from my family since I was 17.
Wow.
But I had to make that choice. It was either because they're no good. I know it's family, but just because they're blood family doesn't mean that they care about you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to assess who they are. And you know who you are. You lay down every night and accept that you're the bigger, better person, that it's not anything that you've done. But we can't control the actions of other people. People come in here, I don't care. They might leave and say, that bitch is crazy. But I'm sure people do, but you think I care? I don't care. I doubt they do, but I don't stress about it. I don't worry about it because I can't control their thoughts, their actions, or anything else. I can only control me. I know every day I wake up, I do the best I can for everybody I come in contact with.
Yeah.
I don't ever intentionally do something to hurt somebody else. But when people intentionally do it, that determines who they are. Mm-hmm. And you have to accept and say, don't feel bad about it. Don't let it weigh on you. You got to let it go. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that have to live with who they are.
That's mm-hmm. the hardest thing, though, when you like family or a relationship, when you think you know somebody so well and you're just like blindsided. That stuff is just so traumatic.
Yeah, it's like the rug was pulled right from under me. I missed
the beginning of the story, so I don't know what happened. I came on like 15 minutes late, so I apologize. But
it was just after my mother had passed away and mm-hmm. things I found out. And one of them I can't confront is my mother. You know, mm-hmm. she's one of them, too. Yeah, and it's things that they did, and it's not about the money. It's about to do that to you.
See, they're selfish. I guarantee you, and I'm going to tell you this. I know this personally. Like, I lived a life of survival, but it's why I do what I do now. And the thing is like, it's always about them, I'm certain. I'm just saying what I probably think that you've gone through. But see, you're the one that's always there for everybody. You're the one that's never done anything to hurt anybody else, trying to keep everything together. But they take and take and take, and they don't care because it's selfishness, and it's all about them. Yeah. Remind yourself that every time they want to come back in, remind yourself and say, I know who they really are. Keep your guard up somewhat. I'm not saying never talk to again or whatever, but whatever you experienced with your back or whatever was going on, I missed that part of the story, absolutely stemmed from the emotional stress because you probably never had closure from whatever you want to confront with your mother, her passing. There's probably a lot of resentment and regrets of you not having closure there, and then you get blindsided with whatever these other people did to you. It was just, you can only beat somebody down so much, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was what you missed was I got shingles.
Okay. And yeah, for sure.
I'm on like week 9 almost, and I'm lots better, but I was
colloidal silver.
What's that?
Colloidal silver.
Okay.
That life was changing. Life changing.
Okay. I mixed that with DMSO and sprayed on me. And that seems to help.
Oral. There's an oral. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Argentin 23. Mm-hmm. Argentin 23 is a hydrosol silver, the purest molecule of the colloidal silver, but there's a topical first aid gel, and then there's a liquid. I drip it IV. It'll knock out any virus or bacterial infection in an hour. Gets rid of pink eye in an hour. Ear infections, nebulizers. It's amazing. Wow. That would be life-changing for you.
Wow. What did you say that's called again?
I'll type it in the group message.
It's Argentin
23. It's You'll never find anything as potent or as pure as this silver.
How did you come across that, Bridget?
At one of my conferences, I went to training with Dr. Mitch Genn. He's world-renowned IV nutritional therapy physician, sits on the pharmacy board here in Florida, and he had certain people and things that he's used for years, and he had these vendors there. Mm-hmm. Discovered that 10 years ago. And it's amazing.
Yeah. I love when you have that product that you're like, it works for everything.
It does. It absolutely works for everything. All my lung cancer patients inhale it in a nebulizer. I've had patients in the past month with all these upper respiratory infections. I don't promote steroids because there's side effects of those. So instead of putting, a steroid in a nebulizer, we put Argentin 23, and within seconds opens up their airways like nobody's business.
I think that's the one. Did you recommend, which I just texted you before the show, but I want to talk with you later, but is that the one you
recommend? I spelled that wrong. Hold on. Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Argentin.
Argenti.
I forget the end. There you go. Yeah, that's the one I was discussing. Yeah. I always reference that one. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Beck, I have to say, I went through something before I met my husband, met Justin, and I was engaged. It's a long story, but I was engaged to another guy who was working at the church with me, and we did all this ministry stuff together. Anyway, it turned out he was molesting a bunch of the little boys in the youth group.
Oh, God.
When we were together. And it was this journey of just like, I mean, we were 6 weeks away from getting married. It was just this awful, awful thing. So we obviously didn't go that route, and he got in trouble with the law and all this stuff. And it was probably like 6 years into my marriage, my very healthy marriage, that I was still dealing. I mean, I'd never had closure. You know, he moved back away. He was running from the law, like all this stuff. And that's when all my health problems started. Like,
it's like a punch right to your gut, isn't it? When you find that out.
Yeah.
Oh, you're frozen. She's frozen.
Oh, yep.
Whole
rest are okay.
There she is.
You froze.
Oh, sorry. Here we are. Oh, are you guys there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I never really had a lot of, thank God, childhood trauma or like huge family trauma. But when somebody you're so close to is living this like total lie of a life, and then, you know, he ended up, it's a long story. He ended up marrying somebody, moving, and getting into trouble again with the molestation thing. And he was going in for life in Colorado. And so he killed himself. And I'm like, you know, I'm never going to have closure in this life with him. I never got it when we broke up. I'll never get it again because he's gone. So I'm not kidding. It took me 14 years in a happy marriage where I wasn't wanting him. I wanted recovery from what had happened to me. It was so, so upsetting, you know, and I came out the other end, but my gosh, I felt like my body and my mind were just, I had never been so beaten up. It was
incredible. Well, it would be so hard to trust somebody again.
You work through that. Who do you trust? Are they who they say they are? How do you get that back? And then you know what it is when you cannot have closure because either someone won't give it to you or someone's passed on. Yeah. It's all here. Like you have to get real with yourself. You have to release things that you never even thought were in there. It's really beautiful if when you get to that point of realizing it's about you. It's on your end because you're not going to get that from those other people.
All right.
Like Bridget was saying, I mean, it really is about like we're releasing. We're the ones doing the work. They're the ones that are toxic and selfish, and we might never get what we're looking for from them. So,
yeah. But people like that aren't capable of letting you have closure anyway. So the true closure is with yourself. I always like journaling is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to take care of yourself before you can be good for anybody else. And it's not selfishness. That is not a definition of selfishness because your health has to come first and then you'll be optimal and you're going to perform best in personal life and your career and whatever else you want to pursue.
Right.
I mean, you have to find that first. But I'm like, so closure doesn't necessarily mean you have to confront somebody. Closure is internal with yourself. You know who you are, who you were and who you're going to be. Yeah. And we know that we can't control those other people and their aspects and what they want to do.
And there's no time. I don't think there's a time frame on that. Cause like,
no,
for me, I kept going, why is this taking me over a decade? Like, what is this? Like, it won't let go of me. And I thought I was never going to get over it because there's things that would still bring anger or resentment.
Because you gave so much to somebody that just kept taking it. And,
for sure.
And the fact that it was such a hidden secret, you're like, how can I give and love something so much for to be hurt so, so intensely, you know, so deeply? Like,
and then how do you not drag that into future relationships? So, you know, like, So yeah, it's, you know, I'm so glad my process took forever though. Cause I talk with a lot of people, my friends where things are again, decades long. And I go, then that's amazing because your healing is going to be that much deeper. It's not a year you go to therapy. It's all over. I mean, it's levels and layers of just like letting this stuff go over time and journaling it out. Journaling was huge for sure.
Journaling is great. Whenever I do a consult with a new patient, every time they're like, oh no, I feel pretty good overall. I'm like, oh, I really do. And what I consider emotional, physical, or chemical traumas is not what they consider the same. Like I literally had a girl in here battling with fibroids and all this stuff. She was on birth control since she was 11 to regulate cycles. And I said to her, I said, okay, so how was your childhood? She goes, it's pretty normal. You know, my mom was a single mom and we financially struggled. And I said, okay, and what about your dad? So she started her menstrual cycle in May when she was 10 years old. And she goes, well, you know, my dad, when that February killed himself. I'm like, well, that might be some emotional trauma. To her, that was an emotional trauma. And then a year later, when she actually started ovulating, her menstrual cycle became heavier and the mom took her immediately to the doctor and they put her on birth control. Now she's like 350 pounds, suicidal. She's growing facial hair like a man. They've told her that she has polycystic ovarian syndrome and it's all stemmed from the birth control. But see, that was the mistake that doctor made 25 years ago, instead of addressing the real issue. It was that emotional trauma that brought the onset of not even her menstrual cycle. She was bleeding and spotting, but she didn't start ovulating, but that was an emotional response. So I always go on a consult back to childhood and to teenage years, puberty, college, whatever. And I'll find the timeline of when things sort of fall off the track. You have to, but people don't think, they're like, oh, it's just normal stress. No, what's normal stress? Right? People downplay what they're going through, but they don't have to. They need to address it and realize it and move forward. Because we can't change yesterday. We can only change today and tomorrow with our own actions. And again, we can't control anybody else around us. So.
Amen, Bridget. Yeah, no, that's powerful. Beck, I will be keeping thoughts and prayers for you as you heal.
Yeah. Oh, I'm much better. At least I can sleep now. You know, that's great. And I can get comfortable. You know, Really, oh my, yeah, I just, but boy.
Oh, I have to say, well,
there's another part of me on another level. I'm getting paid back for some arrogance of mine. We're talking last summer, and I told Justin about this. He may have forgotten. I did a Reiki treatment on a gal that had shingles, and she had both sides, but they weren't the big welts. They were more like chicken pox, really. And she was sobbing and crying, and I came home, and here I am being a smart aleck, and I go, "What a sissy," is exactly what I said. A week later, I had shingles. This was last summer. It was only on one side and a little bit. And I said, "Well, that's not that bad. What a big sissy. She's bawled her eyes out." And I'm being so awful. I almost feel like the universe just came back and just said, "Okay, you want to feel it now? You want to feel what she probably was feeling?" And I was judgmental about it. I almost feel on that level too. I almost had to experience it to not judge somebody and what they were going through, because this time was 10 times what I had in July. That was only a few little things. Scabs came off. I was fine. This time, So, you know, is that the universe just slapping me up and going, "There you go"? Well,
I think I know what you mean, but man, if it's not the universe slapping you, it's a beautiful opportunity to be empathic, because I think there's sympathy and there's empathy. Like stuff that I never understood, and then I went through it. I'm like, my gosh, my eyes were open, and I have so much empathy for people. Like, so actually, I think it's a beautiful gift in a weird way. Like,
I usually do, but when she started sobbing like a child, I could only have so much patience. You know, I guess I'm more the one that starts cursing and mad, and
well, it's frustrating, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't feel that she should feel, you know, everybody reacts differently to things. And that was wrong of me to judge her on that. And so, where guess what?
Rebecca, where do you live?
Ohio.
Ohio. Well, I'm from Indiana, and that's kind of like the attitude we have. You know, we have this hard ass, attitude. Yeah. We are so tough. And I mean, I have the same kind of issues that you have, where I don't care what people think about me, or I never did. And so until something happened to me later on in my life that I had no control over, that just happened, and just, boy, and I just don't come out, you know, I don't care. I still don't care what people think, but yeah, it really did a job on me.
Yeah, well, I guess life is a learning thing, you know. You're never too old to learn.
Do any of you use brain tap technology, Dr. Patrick Corder?
No. Oh. Tell me about this.
Dr. Patrick Corder, yeah. And so I use it on my patients here after they get an adjustment. But Dr. Corder created a program. It's light and sound technology. So you put a headset on, and there's lights in the ears on your meridians. There's a visor that goes over your eyes. You close your eyes, and it is a frequency following response. And then whatever program you play, you can just do music through the headset, or you can do talking through the headset. And there's binaural beats, isochronic tones that are going on with it. But the programs that are on there, he's got everything from grief to childhood abuse to all kinds of different things. So according to what my patients are going through, it gradually helps them, even if they're not fully in touch with it. It helps them to connect and clear. It brings you through your brainwave cycles from beta to alpha to theta to delta and back out. But there's so many programs on it, and they have it for children, and there's children's series. There's, you know, because there's so many people that have a lot of issues that they don't know what they're stemming from. They don't connect. They can't get to the root of, like, maybe they're not remembering or the experience. But this kind of moves the patient through. Wow. A lot of things, and their nervous system and their brain and their body are connecting, when and they're just laying there. They have it on, they get their adjustment. I have put them in a zero gravity chair, nice. Put the headset on them, and 20 minutes later they come out and they're like, oh, I just feel like I went on a vacation somewhere. And they slowly, I see them start to change, and they start to sleep better at night, and they start to heal. You know, there's other things that we do, but that's just one of the tools. So for dealing with a lot of, you know, PTSD issues or emotional stuff that you might not be able to connect with, the brain tap is a good tool for people because they could also use it at home.
Is it a really big investment?
Not really. It's for the headset itself. It's like $679, I think.
Okay.
And then they can choose, and like, it costs about $30 a month, and it's an app, and they have access to all different types of, you know, there's over 700 programs on there.
Wow.
And with that, they can use it on their family. They could use it on their kids. You know, it's something that the whole family starts to benefit from.
I've heard of things like that. I don't think I've heard of that specific. There's always so many cool things to find out. This is why I love these talks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for that. So that's Dr. Patrick Porter.
Yeah.
I'm going to put him in the chat. Thank you for that.
Sure. Yeah. My brother is a chiropractor. And he introduced me to it. And so I started using it a couple of years ago in the practice. And then you can set it up as you can become an affiliate in the program. And like up in Connecticut, there's two of us that are like brain tap centers. Cool. You know, if you're a chiropractor or whatever, you can go deeper into it. And, but there's all kinds of things, or you can just do basic programs, and then anyone can just go on there and sign up and get it and download it. And everyone who I have referred to use it, they just love it. I carry mine. I wear mine all the time. I bring it when I used to fly, I would use it on the airplane. And it helps with jet lag, I found out, because you are going through your brainwave cycles with the headset. So that's pretty cool.
That's legit. How long has it been around for, like, a long time?
Yeah. Dr. Porter's dad was one of the original guys who was discovering all the stuff with the neural feedback and stuff. Like way back in the 50s. And so he grew up, him and his brother, they grew up like being experiments for their father.
Good experiments, not lab
rats. Yeah, good experiments. So yeah, it has been around for a while. And he's down in North Carolina. And so I don't know. I know he travels a lot because I work with a doctor out in Oregon. We do a lot of, EMF stuff for sensitive people, and he uses it out there as well.
So good to know, because I mean, gosh, we have a Rife machine and that thing too, man. You can just run those programs all night for different things, and
yeah,
I swear it makes you feel different.
It's so cool. It does. Yeah. I have an app coil, and I just like love that. And now with all the stuff that's happening, I'm just putting people in a room, like, yeah, sit in a circle, and I turn on the app coil.
Yeah. I was curious. We've had friends that have had those. We've talked about them. We know people. We've seen them at shows and stuff. You feel that way about it? You love it?
Yeah, I do. I got introduced to it a couple of times, and I kept like, yeah, I don't know. And then my former business partner, she got neurological Lyme. It just in one weekend, she was just like down. Where she couldn't talk. She didn't know who I was. It was just like, her fiance was like, are you having a stroke? He's like calling me up. He's like, can you come to the house? I was like, what's going on?
Oh my God.
It moved really quickly. So that's when I reached out to these people who they ran a program here in Connecticut with the amp coil for specific people who had chronic Lyme who weren't healing. And I had heard about the study they were doing. So I called them and they came over, they brought an amp coil over to us. And so we did that, and we did these frequency waters that this woman in New York does. And with, and then I saw the progress she was making, and I thought, I got to buy one of these.
Wow. How long did it take her to get back to like where she seemed normal? Was it a while?
A couple of months.
Okay.
Yeah. A couple of months, but it was really bad. So
how does that, I'm just curious, how does that happen? Is it like a, she has Lyme and did she know it? And then all of a sudden it just hit like a new spot and it got really, really bad. Or was it something that was like brought on like by a quick bite and it went straight to her brain kind of thing?
No, she didn't know she had it. Mm-hmm. And she was having a bit of an emotional, emotional stuff close to her heart was going on. Mm-hmm. And so she wasn't dealing with that. And I think that's what kind of inflamed the situation.
Yeah.
And then she started getting the rashes. And like she got three, which usually, you know, we see one, but like, she got three, and she went to a yoga class and she was like, oh, I can't walk. My back hurts. And she's just like always in good shape and plays tennis and runs. And, so I was like, oh my God, she got her whole right side of her face just dropped. And I said, you're having a lot of Lyme symptoms. You got some things going on. And then in like 2 days, her pain level escalated and her fiance called me and he was like, I don't know what's going on. So needless to say, she's a lot better. She's doing great. And she and her fiance split up.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, then that was part of her journey.
Yeah. And part of the things on the amp coil is you can do, like we did a lot of restorative and we went after a lot of the frequencies that are with the pathogens and stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of programs on there that you can help with emotions, which was good.
I'm going to check out. We talked about it a while ago, but also the brain tap thing sounds fascinating.
The brain tap thing is really cool. And then she did this thing called, has anyone heard of Healers Who Share?
I have not.
Okay. So that's, water. It's just purified clear water and they program it with the frequency, but they test. So we got her saliva sample and this woman tested it. Someone else referred us to this woman in New York, and this woman deals with like chronic Lyme and stuff like that. Check her out. So we give her the saliva sample. She checks it out and then she comes back and she gives us this report. And she's like, well, she said somewhere in her ancestry, what came up was, bites and poisons. And she had like five different things that came up. She said, so it doesn't necessarily mean that like she got bit by a tick and she got this and she had a critter come in. She goes, she had somewhere in her family line, somebody had gotten bit by something. Somebody had poison by, could have been rattlesnake, could have been fleas, could have been anything. And it is in her system. And so it's just like, you know, the overload, you get the overload and it triggers it. So she made a frequency water to clear that out and a couple of other things that showed up. So by the time she finished with everything we were doing, she's like, she's so much better now. But the woman who does Healers Who Share, every two weeks about, she does a Zoom call and anyone's welcome to get on it. So I can send the info, but the woman's really interesting. She's here in Connecticut, but the company itself is in Colorado. So she goes back and forth.
Yeah. Is that possible to kind of tell us about it? I'm not sure if that's something we would put in the forum or just post right here before the show is done so we could connect with her.
Yeah. Let me, how would I do this? What about if I, do you have an email?
Yeah.
Let me do that.
Email it to me. Here, I'm going to put my email here in the chat. If you don't mind, that'd be great.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll, if that's okay, can we share that publicly in the forum, the information?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll start a thread on that so people know about it.
So okay. She sends you water and you drink it and then you send it back as a sample of when you, I mean, I don't understand the water.
No, you do a saliva.
A swab.
Yeah, okay. Like a cotton ball. And then it gets analyzed. You find somebody who does this work. They analyze it, and then they call you, and that you go over the report, whatever they find in it, and then they create the water with the frequency in it, and send you those waters for whatever you have going on in your body. Yeah,
okay. Sorry.
That is super cool. I've done frequency drops from my naturopath before for other things. And my gosh, like I didn't do a saliva. He tested me with, I forget the name of the machine, but they put it on a spongy water and then you test stuff on your fingers. But my gosh, it really helped, but it was so expensive. I couldn't even believe it.
Yeah. The waters are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But they work. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. I've seen a lot of people.
Yeah.
Use them now that we've discovered it.
Yeah. That's interesting. Is she kind of new or has she been doing this for a long time?
No, it's not new. She took it over from another doctor. He was doing it for a long time and he trained her. It's funny because one of my patients a few years ago was telling me about it and saying, you know, you should contact them. I think it would be so helpful. I used it for my daughter, for her gut, and it's the only thing that helped her. And I was like, yeah. And here we go years later, my business partner was like, okay, here we go, I guess I should look at this.
No, I know what you mean. Sometimes I'm like that, and you know, in our field it's so hard because people tell you all this stuff and you're like, yeah, it's just, it becomes too much sometimes, and then you're like, gosh, I'm so glad I found out about that one little diamond in the rough.
Exactly.
And, you know, to be fair, like not everything works the same for everybody. It's like those frequency drops helped me more than I ever thought. But it's like I had a friend who tried them that was like, eh. And I don't know if she gave up prematurely on them. It's like she found other modalities. So it's also just what you believe, I think, about these things that really bring them to success in your body.
Yeah.
They helped me a lot. So yeah, I'm going to check her out. So she works with people, it sounds like, all over or like her team or yeah. Okay. Gosh, thank you. Yeah, if you could email me more on that, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll email you her information, and she has a whole everything dated out to the end of the year when all of the calls are, so you can just hop on.
Oh, that's so cool. I'll post a forum post about that, you guys. I'll call it like Healers Who Share, and then I'll put info there.
Great.
How cool. Thank you for that, Luann. I appreciate
it. Sure.
Gosh. You guys are a wealth of knowledge. It's so cool to hear about all these new things or things we didn't know about, I should say, but some are new. There's always going to be new things coming out, but which is great. Yeah. Thank you. Like probably five.
Excuse me.
Yep. Hey, Lynn.
I have to go off. I really appreciate it. I have to go off. I got to go do harp therapy now.
Thank you for playing for us that one day. That was so cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Did you ever find anything more about the horses?
No, I didn't.
No.
I saw her and the conversation went a complete different way. So I'm going to see her again next week. I'm going to find out.
Okay.
That'd be amazing. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. I remembered then and then I was like, oh gosh, but I'm going to see her next week. So let me write this down.
No problem.
That'd be really neat though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Cause I'm certified now. So it's really good.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Lynn, thank you for always joining. I really appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you. And I also appreciate that Healers That Share. About 6 years ago, I got bit by a child because I worked in a behavior school. Hmm. And right after that, I started getting like all nerve pain in my head and my mouth and everything. I've had it for 6 years and can't find a solution for it.
Wow.
So maybe this is it. I don't know.
Luann, good call going that way. Thank you.
So yep. Thank you.
Look into that for sure. That gives you hope always.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Thanks. Let me know. I want to hear.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
I'll see you again. Bye.
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 Bye. Thank you.
Yeah. That's interesting to me too, because, Luann, you said that. And then Bridget said 2 weeks ago about the Lyme, and just, she goes, I would test you for Lyme. You know, I'm going through this fibroid thing and I've never been tested for Lyme. But you know, what was interesting is, like, maybe 10 years ago, we were in Australia and we missed our flight. And so we stayed at some hotel just like downtown by the bridge and whatever. And it was a beautiful hotel, super clean, super nice. But I woke up with all these like bites, on my butt. And it was like, I don't know what got me, but they lasted for a year, like the
wow. Dump.
And I thought, yes. I knew from that point on, I'm like, something, and then my health obviously took a turn and I was like, something happened with those bites. I can't tell you what they were, but I went to a dermatologist at the time and he was just like, oh, I don't know, you got bit by something. And yeah. I swear it turned, like something happened to me after that. So I don't know what it was. But.
Interesting. Yeah. So I'm sure. I just posted a link in there for Patrick Porter. You can use it for 2 weeks. You can go on and click on it and you can use it with regular headphones to try it out. But
no way.
It's much, much better if you use the headset. Yeah, the actual headset, because you get the frequency following response with the eyes and you get the meridian lights in the ears. But I give it to some of my patients. I said, just go ahead and buy the app and use your headset that you have at home for your regular listening headset. If they can't afford to buy a headset, it's still better. It works like, forgot what the percentage is, but it will still help, but you can check it out.
No, that's perfect for people who are just not, well, and me myself, like it's always good to try stuff. I think if you're going to drop a lot of money.
Yes.
Thank you for that. That's perfect.
You're welcome.
And I'm curious, Bridget, too, when you test your people for Lyme, what's the most like effective test you've come across?
So I primarily train with Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, who is out of Germany on autism and Lyme disease and things like that. And honestly, there's no great test out there, but I don't just do a Lyme titer. I always do a CD57 flow cytometry, which will tell us how much your killer T cells are actually functioning. That's the best way to tell. But you check Epstein-Barr, you do the Western blot that shows each individual band of Lyme disease, because a Lyme antibody testing will only show you a positive result if you have Borrelia. And the majority of Lyme disease doesn't carry that strand of bacteria. Hmm. So there's 300 bands of Lyme disease worldwide, 200 prevalent here in the United States. And 99% of the time it goes misdiagnosed. People on average of 15 years, they're all told that they have an autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. An autoimmune disease just means your immune system's attacking itself. Like there's something else going on. Why is your body so confused where it's going to attack its own immune system? So I always check an ANA regardless for autoimmune. Not like I care what the result comes out really. They always have secondary co-infections of Epstein-Barr. When you see the CD57 flow cytometry come back with very low functioning killer T cells, it's a high indication. And then you go off symptoms as well. Okay. And just like any virus or bacteria, it mutates and changes and becomes prevalent. But everybody's come in contact with some form of Lyme disease. It's a matter of whether or not your immune system becomes so compromised from inflammatory responses and stressors that it can be activated. So it's literally the light switch can be turned on or off. And that's the approach that we take. And everybody tends to get better. But, you know, Lyme disease mimics Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, Parkinson's. And then
all that.
These people take these drugs that actually induce the symptoms of those issues, but it's neurological Lyme disease the whole time. Mm-hmm. And those are specific to different strands of Lyme disease. So you look for each individual strand. Don't base it off of a Lyme titer, because it's not looking for that.
No, and that's the thing where it's like we've talked to so many people throughout the years that it's really tricky, or they think it's tricky to try to pin Lyme down, and you'll get 1,000 false positives. You know, somebody knows they have Lyme and keeps coming back. They don't have Lyme. So it's like you got to really, like, you're all about the root. You got to get to the root of this stuff. But sure. I don't know if people are just so in their little bubble, they can't think outside of this, or
are you referring when you say that to healthcare professionals? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because they're not allowed, because they're regulated by the government and the insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies. So the right now, if a physician takes any type of insurance, if they spend more than 15 minutes with a patient, the claim is denied.
Yeah,
they're not allowed to address more than two complaints in one visit, or the claim is denied. They're practicing based on a reimbursement process. Mm-hmm. They're not practicing on individualized care or the individual patient. They're not allowed to. And, you know, it's a very broken, unfortunate situation, because it's not healthcare. It's a broken sick care system.
Do you think they know what they're doing, though? Like, when a person goes in and says, hey, I think I have Lyme, and they're like, oh, we'll do this one test. Do you think they even are aware there's a whole world of?
No, they're not. And they don't care to look into it. They haven't studied Lyme here now, I think, 18 years. They haven't researched or studied it. Mm-hmm. Whenever I get a positive Lyme patient, which is almost on a daily basis, the health department calls my office and says, hey, why'd you test for Lyme? I'm like, well, it's a good damn thing I did, because they've been diagnosed multiple sclerosis for 23 years. What are you talking about? Why are you questioning that? But they don't, they fear this because they know nothing about it. They treat it like an STD. The health department has to call if I get a positive chlamydia result, right? They do the same damn thing with Lyme disease, because they have no idea what it is.
It's no way.
Yes. The health department will call me up.
So what do you
the
say?
The laboratory has to report it.
Wow.
The health department's mandate, the laboratory is mandated to report positive Lyme cases to the Florida Health Department. And then the Florida Health Department calls me and questions me, well, what made you, what indicated that you need to test the patient? Have you called all of their sexual partners? I'm like, are you all retarded here? Like, what are you talking about? They have no idea. I'm like, well, it's a good thing that I did, because this one was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and that one was diagnosed with lupus. This one's been diagnosed with Pott's disease. And it's never, those are just made up names that they came up with because they gave up and they got lazy and didn't want to find out. You weren't born with Pott's disease. So why at 37 did you wake up and now you have Pott's disease?
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. When something along the way went off track.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. When we took my friend over to the emergency that morning, because we needed to rule out that she wasn't having a stroke. They were like, I said, I think this is neurological Lyme. And the guy was like, no, 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 no. I'm like, test it, test this, test that. It's not, and you know, no, no, no. The infectious disease people too, they have no idea what's going on. But so one of the nurses who in the hospital, she introduced the amp coil to them, and they saw what was going on with all the chronic, because we have Lyme up here like crazy. Mm-hmm. And they know they can't do anything about it. They're not helping people. Mm-hmm. So when they saw what was happening with the study these people were doing with the amp coil, this nurse who's been there at the hospital, really all know her, the infectious disease doctors were like, we want to know what this is. They are actually looking to do a study with it. So,
and they were open to it?
They are looking now to do a study with the amp coil with the chronic Lyme people.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how long that support lasts, because anything that actually goes and takes away from traditional healthcare and the government's, you know, putting money back into their own pocket and pharmaceuticals, insurance companies, it won't last long. So, you know, I do all holistic stuff here. They don't like anything that I do here, but I don't really care, because everybody gets better. Everybody gets better, but they don't ever want to fund or, you know, support those types of studies, because again, if they start curing people, the money's going to go away. If they actually affordable treatment, what will happen to the healthcare money making industry? You know, that's just corrupt. So I hope that they're able to do things like that. But again, the government also knows that they created the Lyme disease when they did they took infected Lyme ticks back in the late 60s, early 70s, and mutated the strain of Lyme disease to use as an attack during a war, like World War.
Oh, yeah.
And it leaked out, and that's confirmed.
Live like an hour from there.
Yeah, right outside of Lyme, Connecticut. So in the state of Florida, it's funny because every practitioner here, they don't ever look for Lyme disease, 99.9% of them, because they're like, we live in Florida, you can't have Lyme disease. Well, mosquitoes carry it, not just ticks, head lice carry it. fleas, mites.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're the mosquito capital of the world.
With the people who do have it, we're finding out that when we use the amp coil on them, we have to make sure we clear out a lot of the molds and mildews and funguses. Oh, and yeah, mm-hmm. or else they're not ever going to heal. You can't get down to right. that layer.
No, and those are always, there's always so many secondary, third, and other co-infections, right? So
yep.
even
yep.
EMF, because I don't have activated Lyme and I'm pretty healthy, you know, EMF, like harmful EMF, isn't going to be as effective on me versus somebody that's fighting a severe chronic case of Lyme disease. Their immune system, they have no immune system. In yep. Germany, at the Klinghardt Institute, they literally take samples of the patient's blood, put on a huge screen TV, and let them watch them their white blood cells on a petri dish under a microscope, and they don't even move. You see the spirochetes and the Lyme disease going crazy, and your immune system has been so destroyed that the white blood cells, which is your defense mechanism against anything, your body produces and sends mass amounts of white blood cells when it's trying to fight off bacterial infections or viral infections, right? Their white yep. blood cells were dead. They weren't moving. And this is years because, and you know what else is a factor there? Because they go and get diagnosed with some stupid autoimmune disease that's not actual accurate. And then they get put on prescription drugs. That's now another chemical stressor, weakens their immune system. And now they exacerbate their symptoms and the disease that they really are battling by tenfold. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
So.
It's awful. It's I know broken. it's almost like you want these studies and things to be done on these machines, but you also don't want it out there. Cause like we had a guy on our show a long time ago who had this
that
was totally healing people. And then he got thrown in jail, you know, and his product got shut down. And you're like, oh,
well, you know how it works, right? Like if you cannot say that anything cures. That is natural can cure or heal anything. Mm-hmm. The law states that any practitioner can only say that a true cure or something to heal is a man-made
chemical
drug that's mm-hmm. a neurotoxic chemical, and it has to hold a patent in order for you to legally say to a patient, I can help cure or heal you. It has to be man-made with a patent.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing.
Oh, of course.
Like the whole
system is just set up perfect though for them, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
But everyone in their world's true. Protected. Everyone in our world either gets shut down or thrown in jail. So
yeah, exactly. So you know, yeah. I stay under the radar and I choose my words very carefully, you know.
I'm sure.
And sure. certain people I have closer relationships with, and I have my way of getting the point across and guiding them to different information online and yeah. lectures. And I always try to educate. Half the time I feel like I'm a damn professor here and during the consult. I'm like, no, I want you to understand why you don't have acid reflux. Mm-hmm. You don't, acid reflux is not too much acid. It's not enough acid. Like, come on, you know, like let's get back down to the science, true science-based healthcare.
Yeah.
Factual. I don't ever implement anything here that unless I have researched it probably close to a year most of the time. But there's going to be a lot of science-based studies to back that up in the tens of thousands at a minimum.
Yeah.
So you figure out what works. And if you don't see results, I don't keep doing it. And that's why these practitioners are, you know, they're breaking the vow that they take. Like they say that they're going to make the best choice and decision when they take that oath after medical school to do what's best for the patient. But if your success rate's less than 1%, you suck. You're not following the oath that you took, because if 99 out of 100 people die, it doesn't work. Or if you have to medicate them with a man-made chemical drug till the day they die, you didn't heal them, did you? You gave up and you followed that pharmaceutical protocol, and that's corrupt.
Yeah. But don't worry, the jab is super safe, even though it's only been around a couple months. Like,
right.
Go to CVS and feel good about that.
Yeah, go take some ibuprofen 800, and that's like, I don't know why you have arthritis or why your knee, your tendon tear is not healing. I have no idea. I mean, it's just craziness.
Even though I'm making fun of it, I feel really awful for people. I mean, it's really sad. The lack of knowledge, people die, you know?
Because well, they don't educate. I mean, again, they are going to stress on breast cancer for women. Leading cause of death in this country for women is heart disease.
Yes.
You never hear that.
No. Well, we do.
Because we're maternal and we, the emotional stress that we endure naturally as women, and they don't, when has, you never go for an annual physical and they're like, how's your stress level? Is everything okay at home? How's your diet? No. They look at a CBC, a CMP, and a lipid panel, and they're like, you're good to go.
Yeah,
I'm totally. Like, what the hell? And your cholesterol is under 200. It should be over 200, not under 200.
Well,
that's a natural response from your body to fight off inflammatory responses. Your half of the weight of your brain, 50% is made of cholesterol. Hormones need cholesterol. They keep lowering this, and then it's just this vicious cycle of craziness.
I know.
So,
the whole thing's backward for sure.
Yeah.
My sister had heart surgery about in 2013, and she had a quadruple, I think, bypass. And she looked, after she got better, it was a horrible, she was in a coma for a week. They couldn't get her out of the coma. Every time they did, she would start, you know, convulsing and stuff. So it took Stanford a whole week to get her out of it. Well, after a year, she looked phenomenal. She really looked great. Now she's walking around like she's ready to die. She's on three blood pressure lowering medications, two statins. Antidepressants, you know, I've got this whole list of, she went to the doctor. She's been staying with me. She lives far away from me now, but she's been staying to go to Stanford to go to her medical appointments. And then she had both eyes done for cataracts. They gave her three of the tests. The third one, I took her over there and the guy shoved the thing. Now, they weren't supposed to be doing that anymore. They shoved that Q-tip up into her brain. She was shocked. And this, I had taken her to the other one. They didn't do that. They only swabbed her nose. This time they shoved it. I said, why are you, you know, the guy was, oh, well, that's the way we do it. Well, I thought they changed it. They weren't going to be shoving it up people's nose anymore. So they're piercing something in her. I know I've heard it several different times. So they're piercing something inside. For what? An appointment for a stress test. They did another. So she said three of them, two before the surgeries. Oh, lower.
Oh, is that your? I was wondering who that was, Stephanie.
And I can't close my other window because I messed it up when I was cleaning it. But I'm just like, it's horrible. It's horrible. And she said, so what did the doctor say? She said, they told me to lose 10 pounds and to exercise and da da da. I said, he didn't tell you to get off any of that medication you're on, Sia? No. So, and I can't talk to her. So I've just, and she got one Moderna shot already.
Oh, gosh. Oh, great. Yeah.
Don't get the second Moderna shot, please. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, it's not going to be good because we know that every single blood pressure, cholesterol, blood thinning medication actually causes the viscosity of your blood to eventually thicken, which if you have ragu thick blood versus water thin blood, what does your blood pressure need to do? Doesn't it have to pump a little harder and go and elevate? If you have a blocked artery or something blocked, why do you want to slow down blood pressure? Because you're not going to get adequate blood flow to the organs that need it. It's just common sense. It's very basic and simplistic. They make it more complex than it really is.
Craziness.
So I'm supposed to go up there, I think, next week, and I'm going to say, look, you have tried it their way, okay? And look at how bad you are. So if you don't change it, you're not going to see your grandson grow up. That's all. That's all I can tell you, you know?
Remember, Stephanie, at the end of the day, you try to educate. And I always tell family members, do it and don't be aggressive with it. Just know at the end of the day that you did the best you could and you advised her. So
I can't do anything without being aggressive. I can't communicate without being aggressive.
Well, you know what you could do is I'm going to put my number in this group message again, and you can offer her my phone number. I don't charge to talk to somebody over the phone and give them a little bit of advice and some science behind it, okay? I'm typing it in right now, but see, this is, again, now you have emotional stress, and what's that going to do to you? You can't, what did I say earlier? We can't control other people. We can only control ourselves.
But my daughter got a Moderna shot too. My oldest got one in her room. So I'm just like going, I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's tough, but we can't. You have to look after yourself. I know it really, it sucks. I mean, I'm point blank. Like, but these people are convinced and controlled by our sick system.
Yeah. I know, Stephanie, my mom, my sister, my brother, it's awful, but I've really had to work on releasing that too, because that could just eat me alive. It's just, and I'm not going to let it.
I was trying to handle it. And then when my oldest told me she got it, that's when I know.
That's,
you know, hard. It's my kid.
I know. I cannot even imagine. That's how I would feel if my kids had gotten their regular vaccines. It's just an awful mm-hmm. feeling. No. We're living in unprecedented times. It's just, this is all new. This is all new stresses that didn't even exist a year and a half ago. I mean, this is like intense stuff to navigate. It's hard.
I know.
But, you know, this is why these conversations are so good, though, just to have a space to go, you're not alone. We all here believe this same thing, and we're all going back to our lives after this call, and we're all going to just know there's other people that are still fighting for what's right. And
Bridget, I gave my daughter all this stuff, right? I gave her Children Health Defense, because they send out a weekly or biweekly info on the deaths and the injuries and all that. And then I also gave them some other stuff to read. They were going to fly to Austin. But see, they've been flying a lot back and forth from Texas to here because they're going to move there. So she has to get a test every time for the PCR test to fly. So she said, I just don't want to have to deal with that. And I said, please deal with that. Just do that. And then, you know, because they don't know what's going on with this. But if I could have my daughter call you, that would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's my cell phone number. They can text as well, because when I'm with patients, I keep my phone on silent. But okay. Tell them to shoot me a text and I always get back the same day.
Okay.
So I'm going to walk away for a second, because I'm going to go hook up a patient.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. I texted you as well, so I'll talk to you.
Yeah, I did get your text message, and we'll talk soon. I'm here to help. Sure. And it was for good sure. talking to everybody again, and I look forward to the next time. And bless everybody you. Has my number, okay?
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. I need to run, too. I need to get back in.
I do, too. I need to grab my babies. I'm going to put, okay. I don't know if I see Bridget. Bridget's going to post it, or I have it here, too. I can repost it in the chat. You want me to do that, Bridget?
She said she put it in there.
Oh, did she?
I did hit enter. There goes. Sorry.
Okay. I love you guys. Thank you.
Love you. Bye.
We'll talk again soon.
Hold on. Let me save the chat. Yeah,
of course. There okay.
Thank you.
Love you guys. Take care.
Love you too.
Hang in there, Beck. I'm praying for you.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do great.
You are. You're already there. I have to say, that barbed wired feeling is how I felt with my babies. And I know it's a totally different thing, but I thought my stomach was going to explode. It was the weirdest, awfulest, tightest. Oh, it was awful. So
yeah.
In a weird way, I have empathy. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. It's a skin sensation, to say the least.
Well, and then beyond that, I got, you know, all this nerve damage in my leg. It was. Bodies are, we're always trying to bounce back from something.
Yep. The nerves are something else.
Nerves are something else. So I'm going to try cold plunging. Thanks, Luann, for that, too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to work my way up. So maybe next time we talk, we can all share if we've tried new things.
Yeah. So nice to talk to you later today.
Love you. Thanks, Luann. Love you all. I'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Okay. Bye. Oh.